When you're a writer, inspiration can come from the most unlikely places. For my next guest, it was a visit to a very special high school that turned up the subject of her latest offering. Matab's story, by well-known children's author Libby Gleason, explores the experience of Afghani refugees who flee their homeland and settle in what is initially, at least, a hostile Australia. For the story behind the story, so to speak, Libby Gleason joins me now in the studio. Welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
This book is inspired by a true story. How did that come about?
Well, it really started for me after 9/11. I was pretty distressed at the way in which our community and our politicians in particular treated those in the country who had the Muslim faith. I felt it must be incredibly difficult to be a Muslim kid in an Australian school through 2002, 2003. So I thought I wanted to write something about that, but I didn't have any idea what that would be. And in speaking with a friend, she suggested I go out to Holroyd High School and talk to Dorothy Hoddenott, who is the principal there. And that school has an enormous number of refugee children from all over the world, but particularly from the Middle East. When I spoke to Dorothy, she asked me first to have a conversation with her before I met any of the students, which is fair enough. Mm-hmm. And in the course of that conversation, she told me the truth of some of the stories of the kids who she taught. And I was just horrified at what some of these kids had been through. And then she invited me to come out and she put me in a room with six or seven girls in year 11, kids around about 16 to 18, because some of them had never had education in a formal sense prior to coming to Australia. So although they were of a certain age, they were often in a class much lower. And in the course of the conversation I had with these girls, all of whom were Muslim, all of whom had been through the detention centres, most of whom had come on the leaky boats, in the course of that conversation, I felt a special attraction to one girl, just through her own interest in what I wanted to do and her own passionate desire to tell a story. And that girl was Nahid Karimi, who is an Afghani student. And out of her family's story grew this book. Though it's not a biography, it's definitely a fiction, but it's informed by the experiences of her and of those she knows.
Dorothy Hoddenott, who you mentioned, has been on this show actually talking about Holroyd High.
She's a wonderful woman.
And she's a real advocate. She's a force of nature.
She is. She is, and I see she got an Order of Australia in the last awards, and well deserved.
Mm. Now, your friendship with Nahid and her family grew over a period of some time.
A couple of years, yes. Because if I look at the notebooks that this book has grown out of. The first one was started at the middle of 2004 and the book was published in May 2008. So that's how long it takes, or it took in this case. Yeah.
She saw meeting you. How did she see meeting you?
Well, I always find it quite humbling because I feel I owe her family an enormous amount. I couldn't have written the book without them. And it's not only the book, of course, that's changed, but they've given me insights into the lives of some of those who've come to the country in the most recent years, and they've awakened me in a whole kind of series of ways of consciousness and so on. I mean, I was always sympathetic and, I hope, empathetic to their situation, but it's enormously heightened by the encounter with them. And yet every time I would say to her, look, thank you, she would say, no, thank you. And I think, what have I done? You know? And yet I suppose the only way I can understand that is for her there is a sense of relief and a sense of achievement in getting a story out.
She wanted you to get it right.
Yes, definitely. She wanted the story out,
yes.
No question. But she also wanted it to be, you know, the right version of the story, I guess.
She was very angry during her time in detention here, I gather.
Distressed, I think, as well as anger. It's not just anger. You know, I think there must have been this incredible level of frustration and disbelief because, you know, Nahid's family, they're clearly a middle-class Afghani family. They had doctors and teachers and so on in the women in the family in the period prior to the Taliban. So we're not talking... So many of our images of people who come from the Middle East are of rural or working-class people.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily talking about that. Nahid's great aunt had been a teacher, another one had been a doctor. So she herself has aspirations for that kind of professional life.
Actually, it's one of the few times I can remember you evoked so well, especially at the beginning, of the richness of the life that they had before the Taliban.
It was a good life.
It wasn't grinding poverty and persecution.
No.
It was good.
No.
And then it became so dangerous.
That's right. That's exactly what happened. And it was in the novel, I say that the grandfather was killed, and this was the case in the Karimi family. But it's not just the grandfather. There were others as well. And of course, not just the loss of life of some, but the terrible repression of the women in the family, such that they could not go out, and the girls were denied education.
So they had to flee, and that sense of not being welcome when you haven't got a choice or feel you haven't.
That's right.
That's very difficult for a young person, really a child at this stage.
That's right. Nahid is now in her early 20s, but she was 12 years old when she arrived in Australia, and she had three younger brothers as well. Mm. So, you know, in that period, this family's coping with all the pressures and so on of small kids, dealing with this terrible fear they must have been in and constant difficulty in making this journey.
On Life Matters today, my guest is the well-known children and young persons author Libby Gleeson, and we're talking about really the story behind the story of Maktab's story, which is her latest novel, which is published by Allen and Unwin, and very much inspired by real-life events. In the novel, Libby, Maktab's family undertake this very hazardous and difficult and involved journey. You don't spare your young readers the hardship involved, do you?
Oh, it could have been much worse in the novel. I could have given them a lot. No, I don't really want to spare them either. I mean, I feel very positive about the absolute ending of the story, because I think for many of the people in Nahid's situation, a lot of life is now positive, although there's still sadness about what has been in the past. But can you convey the authentic feeling of that escape without going into the detail of the fear and the trepidation and the potential danger and the actual danger?
In the novel, Maktab keeps a diary, and it's her way of kind of coping, if she can name things in a way. Did Nahid keep a diary? Or?
Interestingly, when I began the novel, I wanted to use a diary, and I spoke to Nahid and she laughed and said that, yes, she had kept a diary, but she lost it in Indonesia before they got on the boat. And I felt at that point that I was taking too much of her story if I attempted to do that. Mm. Although, gosh, I would have loved to have had that diary from a novelist's perspective.
Yes.
And I chose not to use a diary in the first three quarters of the novel, but used it at the ending as a way of showing that she had to finally find some way to deal with what was happening to her.
The family separated for a time. That's a terrifying prospect for a child. But it's quite a common thing.
And very real. If you look back on the history of our own, of the immigration of the last, say, 10 years, the periods when the men coming first and then the women coming afterwards,
And they're confined to a single room for a long period at one stage. Their kids, they get really bored.
Of course they do. And when I heard that when she was telling me the story, I thought, my goodness, how on earth did they cope? This is three little boys as well as Nahid, and she's a very calm and a self-assured young woman. But, you know, she was 12 at the time, and these kids were younger. They were used to running around, to playing football, to doing all the things that little boys like to do. And I have no idea how her mother managed to keep them beyond the games, the stories and the admonitions and so on. It must have been a very, very difficult time.
You can almost feel your own anger when the family finally arrives in Australia and they fled real oppression and real danger, but the reception they receive, it's very far from welcoming.
It is. And yes, if you can sense real anger in there from me, then I ain't apologising for it. You know, I mean, I felt very angry many years ago when we first began detention centres. But when I heard the stories from these girls, you know, one of the girls who I spoke to at Holroyd, whose story I didn't use, the boat that she and her family came on was towed into Darwin Harbour, and they were met by officials and taken to a detention centre on the same night that we celebrated the opening of the Sydney Olympic Games. And in some ways I wished I'd used that in the story, the kind of the ironies of the joy and celebration at one end of Australia and the suffering at the other.
And there's the line about queue jumpers and how a child views and processes that line that's said about them.
Well, that's right. I mean, queue, there was absolutely no queue for people in their situation.
A recent review of the book points out that these experiences are now every day for many children around the world. Is that the rationale for writing about them for a young audience?
Yes, that plus the layer of the fact that these are in fact incredible stories. You know, my passion is for the story ahead of the politics, although I think that the possibility of provoking kids to think broadly across a range of things is there in a story in a way that it isn't if you simply, you know, proclaim the political situation.
Mm.
And when I think of my own reading as an adult, I love reading adult novels which explore all kinds of ideas, and I don't see why we should deny children the opportunity to explore a range of ideas as well. So that's my motivation for doing something like this.
But it's not, yes, it explores these tough ideas, but it's never a tough read. It's a good read.
Well, thank you.
But you know, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It you know, it trips along. It's easy. It's interesting. You want to stay with them.
Well, you know, if it doesn't work as a story, then it's not going to work at all.
Mm.
And I'm a great believer that the story has to engage the readers quickly as possible, first sentence, and it has to hold on to them all the way through. And if it's not going to work at that level, it's not going to work.
Let's finish where we began with your young friend, Nahid. What's she up to now?
Well, Nahid did not go to school until she arrived in Australia. She started at Holroyd High and went through their intensive language centre and then into the mainstream secondary schooling. She wants to be a doctor. She wasn't successful enough in the final year in the high school certificate, but she did get to university.
Mm.
And she's currently at the University of Western Sydney doing medical science. And her aim is to do well enough to then slip into the medical school there. She hasn't given up her great desire. And at the launch, I mean, she's a young woman who I find totally inspiring. Mari Bashir launched this book a couple of weeks ago, and at the launch, Nahid spoke. And she spoke of her realisation that she has been incredibly fortunate in being able to come to Australia and take herself out of that environment which denied education to so many young girls. And it's almost like she's waving a banner for them, and she's doing what she's doing, trying to get as much education as possible to sort of fulfil a promise to all of those kids who can't do this. And there was not a dry eye in the audience. From the governor down to yeah, she's a wonderful woman.
And what about her family?
The family, I think two of the boys have now finished high school and are in forms of further education at TAFE. Another daughter was born post the arrival in Australia, and she started school this year. And mum and dad are both doing English classes through TAFE with aspirations into various parts of career. I'm not quite sure. Her father was a tailor and a sophisticated dress designer in Afghanistan, and he has not been able to do that work here, but has aspirations to doing, you know. And they're very young. They were a couple married very young, so they're still only in their early 40s. And I feel as though they're all going to make a great contribution, the way so many of our migrants
do. That's right. Well, they've come through so much.
That's right, yeah.
Thank you very much for joining me today, Libby.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.